Thank you so much for joining us today, Bill.
Oh, yeah. Good morning, Ruby.
Now, before we dive in, happy World Rhino Day. Not the point of this day, but what does this day kind of signify? Like, what remains the biggest threat to these guys in the wild?
Yeah, I think having something like World Rhino Day is a great idea because there's 5 species of rhinos in the world. They're in Asia and in Africa, and they're almost uniformly in just desperate trouble. Some species a little bit more than the others. 2 or 3 of the species are just right on the edge of extinction. So it was that kind of realization that led to this rather radical suggestion of breeding and housing rhinos in Australia.
Yeah, right. And I mean, like, what are some of the greatest hurdles for, like, home countries trying to protect rhino subspecies? And have they had much success?
Yeah, we do quite a lot of work in Africa and in Asia. And one of the things that we're seeing there is just such rapid and destructive alteration of the habitats of rhinos and other wildlife species. I mean, roads and infrastructure are just penetrating everywhere. There's enormous development schemes just about everywhere you look. And then the rhinos are just uniquely vulnerable to poaching. They're large, obviously conspicuous. They tend to be very habitual. They obviously don't have great eyesight, although they smell very well. And they just are being savagely poached in most of the places where they occur. But just about the only places where that's not happening is where you've actually got armed guards, like in parts of South Africa and parts of a small area of Java, Indonesia, where you've actually got armed guards out there trying to protect them from poachers. And that's about the only thing that seems to really work. But I think what we've really got to focus, I mean, we can talk about breeding elephants or breeding rhinos in Australia, but obviously we also really need to be talking about these bigger issues. And I'm glad, Ruby, you asked me about them, because I think that it's an extremely stark realization at World Rhino Day that we could lose some of our most iconic wildlife species forever.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, so you've mentioned quite a few times bolstering the rhino population in Australia, and that's what your kind of research has explored. So why exactly is Australia a great spot for rhinos?
Well, I mean, Australia is obviously a country where the rule of law pretty much applies, and so you don't get poaching, nothing like you would get in many developing nations where rhinos do occur now. You've got, well-established land use and that type of thing. There's large cattle stations, which one could potentially adapt. Obviously large areas of land. Rhinos, it turns out, are not especially picky eaters. They're browsers or grazers, and they'll, there's plenty of things that they'll eat, so that's not really an issue. So I think being able to protect them would really be a critical opportunity, and some people would argue that could provide an important safeguard for these wild populations that are declining so desperately by having this kind of arc of rhinos also occurring here in Australia. Now, it's expensive, and there's lots of bureaucracy involved, and there's 5 species of rhinos, so all of which are in trouble. So, that's another issue, too. But right now, the main proposal is focusing on Africa's white rhino, which has come back a bit, or come back some, in its southern populations. And so that's the focus right now, is on the white rhino. And then I think seeing whether or not the breeding works, and then possibly looking at other species as well.
Yeah. And I mean, many of us small native mammals, pardon me, are kind of already facing extinction already. And I mean, there have been issues in the past of introducing new species to Australia and in turn losing others. So how can we protect Australia's unique biodiversity from being disturbed if rhinos are introduced?
Yeah, well, I think it's, bears reminding that Australia already has, several large mammals that are not native. I mean, just look at cattle, sheep, for instance. I mean, those are incredibly populous, but they're not native species. But then also you can look at camels and feral horses, and, there'll be other wildlife species. So, I mean, one, advantage of the rhinos is they're sizable, and, the exotic predators that have been so devastating to some of Australia's wildlife, like foxes and cats, feral cats, a rhino would just laugh at them. There's really not much that would be able to prey on a rhino, aside from people. And I think, but your point about, you know, you couldn't let them loose. Absolutely not. They'd have to be very carefully enclosed within an area so that they don't, you don't have an escape. And I think, you know, you probably if they do establish breeding populations, very likely they'd have radio transmitters on many of the animals and they'd be able to track them down very quickly. So I think, you know, those are just practicalities that have to be dealt with.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, like, to be completely real and honest, I think the common cat would probably do more damage to the to our biodiversity than a rhino would.
Oh, yeah. No, rhinos, much of Australia's rangelands are being very, I come from a cattle ranching family. My father was a cattle rancher in the Western U.S., and I've seen a lot of Australia's, much of Australia. And much of Australia's habitats and rangelands have been desperately overgrazed and impacted by livestock and cattle. So any impact of a small population of rhinos would be trivial compared to what livestock are doing in many parts of Australia. Now the cattle industry will argue heatedly about that, but it's, as a biologist, I'm convinced that what I'm saying is valid and true.
Absolutely. Well, Bill, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. It's been really, really great to chat about this, and happy World Rhino Day.
Thanks a lot, Ruby. Appreciate your interest.
Oh, my pleasure.